It's relevant. I think it's relevant. I think it's ironic that we were able to pick something like 2020. But in fact, regardless, you don't hear the term Jehoshaphat a lot. In fact, I don't know of many children named Jehoshaphat. Do you? It's kind of an odd name, right? I mean, I would wonder what you would call, what would be the nickname for a child that's Jehoshaphat? What'd you say? Fat? What? Oh, Joe. Oh, okay. All right. I guess that's true. But according to the scriptures, as we know, and many of you know, the kingdom of Judah resulted from a breakup of Israel. So we have the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. And in fact, Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of the southern kingdom of Judah. To put things in context, he was also the great-great-grandson of Solomon, which we've heard much about. But we don't hear much, at least I have not, and I don't think it's a common thing to hear a lot about Chronicles and to listen about Chronicles. But yet we know the stories in them of the kings. We also know the story, many stories of Solomon. So Chronicles, 2 Chronicles particularly, starts with Solomon, to put things in context, and ends with the 12th king. At age 35, Jehoshaphat, as recorded, succeeded his father Asa, who was the first king over Judah, and he became the most endeared of the kings for one simple reason. He followed the commands of God, and he had an unyielding faith in God. The story of his 25-year reign of peace and prosperity was all because of the Lord. And he gave all his praise, and he asked his people to give praise to the Lord. And this is the story that some people recognize, although it's not often told. The shining star of his reign was when some people came and told Jehoshaphat that there are three vast armies of the north. Three vast armies. The Moabites, the Ammonites, and some from Edom, the Mennonites. And they would wage a war against the south, against Judah. The only problem was, interestingly enough, that it was almost, as historians say, 8-1. In other words, the northern kingdom had 8 for every one of Judah. Now that's some odds, I would say. What would we do in a situation like that? And I thought about this as I read Chronicles, and I thought about this in commentary, and it was obvious in history that he could have done like the northern kings. He could have actually gone out, and there were hired hands, if you will. There were false military that could help, pagan military that could help fight the wars, but he didn't. Instead, he made it an object to pray to God. So, instead, the next morning upon the war, when he was to lead his armies against the north, guess what he did? Guess who he put in front of him to lead the armies? The choir. He put the choir. Now, I heard earlier today, we were talking when I came in, and I heard someone said, "Oh, well, thank you for being here. I'll be your backup today." Well, I think you're not the backup. You guys are so great. You're the forefront. You're the forefront. Praise and music is the forefront. And obviously in this story, while curious, he put the praise of God in front, the choir. And as he put the choir in front, the choir was to take the brunt. But ironically, now I don't know if this has anything to do with the choir, but when they arrived, They could hear, the armies could hear the choir singing, and it confused them. And they fought among themselves, and they destroyed themselves, and the south was victorious. Judah was victorious, and it took 3 days. This is 3 days for the people of Jehoshaphat to clear the fields with all the spoils and all the things they had left because of the praise to God. Now, how about that, choir? That's a great way, huh? So this peace and prosperity that reigned, it came to Judah, and it came on the faith of Jehoshaphat. You know, this past several weeks, I enjoy going online and creating cards, Christmas cards and New Year's cards, and using the kids' pictures, etc. And I don't know if it's me or if it just happens to be where I'm at in my life, but I've started to notice, maybe you have too, that some of the cards today don't really talk any more about peace, do they? They kind of leave peace out. They're kind of more about Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and have a prosperous New Year. Have a prosperous New Year. And what do you think when people think of when they think of
money?
Prosperous New Year, right? I think you're right. I think that people today are thinking about a prosperous New Year's in the sense of material or in money. But you know, that was not the case for Jehoshaphat. Prosperous was a little bit different. And I think when we think of, and this made me think of Chronicles 20:20, particularly as we read, that it gives us a particularly interesting dichotomy between the type of people that we might see at this time of year, or then all of us, quite frankly, especially as we go into the year 2020. Now, when we think of 2020, I'll bet we're all, depending on our mood, we're either thinking that 2020 in hindsight, we think more so, which is thinking in 2020 hindsight, or how many of us are actually thinking 2020 vision moving forward, as Dick alluded to about how we should look forward to the future. In brief, all of us fall prey to such an issue depending on our moods. We either fall forward in faith or we look behind in despair. That's kind of just the human nature of things. Sometimes we can't get out of our own way to see things forward. Isn't that the truth? Isn't it difficult? But particularly this time of year, when we start to reminisce of all the wonderful things, but also start to make, what? New Year's resolutions, right? Moving forward. New Year's resolutions. And we make these New Year's resolutions based on what? Our dissatisfaction with something in our lives, or something that we need to change, something that we're going to improve upon. I think it's actually quite interesting that much of the church, many churches that are prosperous today even have the term prosperity in them, don't they? The prosperity preachers that are out there preaching, and they forget about the quintessential aspect of what we go to church for. During my seminary studies, we're required to do some reading every once in a while, right, Dick? One of the things I had to do a report on was a rather particularly an older book. I'm not going to mention the person who wrote it, but you will know when I speak of it. It was called Your Best Life Now. It's an older book. I think it was 2004 when it came out. 214 pages. And you know, it's a wonderful self-help book. But as I started to read it, and I got halfway through, and then I got all the way through, there was something very curious I started thinking about. Not once in the entire 214 or so pages was the cross mentioned. Not once was anything about the cross mentioned in the book. There have been over 27 books since that book, and very few times do we hear or see when we read these books anything about the cross. So it's very different, the idea of prosperity and prosperity preaching and what we are here for today. Where is God in all of this? Jehoshaphat knew. He put God at the forefront. That was the key. So I guess what I'm wondering today, in as far as today's message, is would people with little faith, if none whatsoever even, have better results if they had faith? Would people have better results if they had true faith? Do they or do we, like Jehoshaphat, sometimes say, faith is beyond ourselves, but yet we know that we need it, we have it, it gives us joy, it gives us strength, it gives us the power. It is in the Holy Spirit. Believers have been given Christ and the Holy Spirit to guide us through all of our troubles, our tribulations, and our such trying times. But in order to make room for the Holy Spirit, we have to put the past behind us. We have to open up our hearts. We have to make room in our hearts. We must leave certain battles on the battlefield or behind us and move forward. And let God handle it. Our aim in life should be like Jehoshaphat. It should be to put God first and look toward a 2020 vision moving forward. Chronicles 2020, as I've mentioned, is curiously an appropriate message because we are here, all of us, in faith, looking forward to the new year. So as I mentioned, New Year's resolutions, we all have them. Maybe some care to make their resolution by saying, I'm not making any more New Year's resolutions. That could be one. I know for myself, one New Year's resolution is to stop using my treadmill as a coat hanger. That's one for me. Another one, I heard a friend of mine say that he's going to start buying his lottery tickets at a luckier store. In fact, my son and I, we travel back and forth to, he likes to stay with me. We go to seminary out in Jacksonville, and we have a lot of conversations. And he said to me, Dad, this year for 2020, I'm going to make a New Year's resolution too. I said, well, what's that, Jacob? He said, well, I've been watching the Animal Planet, and I want to go green. I want to do something for the planet. And I said, well, what are you going to do for that? He said, well, I'm not going to take a bath. I'm going to conserve water from now on. And I said, well, you certainly will go green, and your mom won't like that, but you certainly will go green. So what are you going to do for the new year? What stance, like Jehoshaphat, are you going to take? What resolution or thought and faith are you going to take moving forward? You know, the big question becomes, and I know this congregation is full of joy and peace and faith. I feel it when I'm here. Our family feels it when we're here. A wonderful pastor you have, a wonderful choir. And really that's what it comes down to is the praise of God and the praise of the Lord. So what choir will lead you in 2020? That's the point. And I hope and I know for many of us, it will be our God and Jesus Christ. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Let me repeat. Listen to me, Judah, the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. Father, let us pray now to you. Father, in 2020, we ask that you continue to lead us and touch us in each and every person here. Please, not just to provide faith, but to provide faith that is abounding, the faith that was abounding in Jehoshaphat, an unyielding devotion in you and sanctified in your plans as you brought forth your Son, Jesus Christ, which you promised and you delivered, a Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. In 2020, may we continue in the faith through the prophets as Jehoshaphat did. For the prophets, together in the Word of God, give us the history and provide us insight each and every week. Father, help us to move forward in 2020 with an abundance of love and joy, and yes, in peace and prosperity, a prosperity of faith. Northminster is a wonderful place and a wonderful witness to faith, and the commitment by each of its members here to bring peace and joy is a testament to that faith. It is an unyielding faith of God and in God as made holy through our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.